This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are joined by Dr. Robert T. London, a well-known psychiatrist, educator, and writer. As a practitioner for 40 years, he is founder and former head of the short-term psychotherapy unit at NYU Langone Medical Center and a pioneer in consumer health care, radio, and TV programming. His new book is called Find Freedom Fast, Short-Term Therapy That Works. And Dr. London, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. Truly appreciate it.
And you're most welcome, and looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters, tell us, what was the inspiration or reason for writing the book, Find Freedom Fast?
Well, for over 30 years, I've been writing newspaper columns for a large newspaper company, trying to define ideas in short-term therapy and the interface of medicine and psychiatry. And I decided to put a book together, trying to explain what short-term therapy is, some of the areas that can be best treated, and how an individual can learn how to circumscribe a problem and try and get beyond it, getting a new perspective on the old set of problems. So the book, Find Freedom Fast, which is available on Amazon and on findfreedomfast.com, tries to explain what the problems are, how I decided to become a psychiatrist, and offers some composite vignettes of how people have overcome certain difficult situations, especially anxiety, phobias, post-traumatic stress disorder, and even insomnia, which is almost epidemic around the country. I come from a family of surgeons, and my father, when I chose psychiatry, was really, really, very influential and very wise. And he said that if you're going to go into psychiatry, try and find something that the other folks aren't doing. And what he meant by that is trying to do what the rest of medicine does, circumscribe the problem and solve it. And what he was referring to was the long extended talk therapy that has a beginning, sometimes a very long middle, and at other times just no end. And he was also thinking about some of the very long-term hospitalizations. Of course, today the hospitalizations are probably too short. But he gave me that wisdom, and I, after I finished my training at NYU Bellevue Medical Centers, I went up to New York Presbyterian, Columbia, and I studied under a great mentor, Dr. Herbert Spiegel, and I learned a lot about behavior modification, what is now called cognitive behavior therapy, and even hypnosis and relaxation techniques. And then I brought it back to the NYU Medical Center, where I established the short-term therapy program, starting with one visit smoking cessation and one visit weight control program. And then we launched into these other areas of anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. My post-traumatic stress disorder is basically in the civilian population, not related to the military. And we were very, very successful for about 20 years when I was running it. And I have believed from the onset in circumscribing the problem and trying to use my learning action philosophizing technique. You learn about something, you philosophize about it, and you try and develop a method of action to move forward, getting a new perspective on the old set of problems. It's my spin on cognitive behavior therapy. And a lot of people don't understand cognitive behavior therapy, but they understand how you may have learned something, how it's affected your life in a kind of a grand philosophical way, and what you can do to move on in the world of action. And there are many examples I could cite. But basically, if the roof has a leak, you fix the roof. You don't have to burn down the whole house. And I think that's been my commitment all this time. Just if someone's got a sore shoulder, you fix the shoulder. That's what the orthopedic doctor does. They don't have to examine the toes. That must make some sense to you, hopefully.
It certainly does make sense, and certainly appreciate some of the details around the inspiration of releasing the book, Find Freedom Fast. Tell us, what is short-term therapy and who does it work for the most?
Well, it doesn't work for everybody, but obviously there are many, many people who could benefit from short-term techniques, whether it's 2 weeks, whether it's 2 months, or 6 months. And as I pointed out earlier, so much of the talk therapy has a very long middle, and sometimes it's not ending. And many of these problems, like phobias or anxiety disorders or even PTSD, can be circumscribed where you just fix the problem. And obviously, there are some mental health issues that require medication. That every so often, someone needs to be hospitalized. And I don't have any problem by using the right type of medication. But oftentimes, for some of these anxiety disorders and phobias and PTSD problems, and even insomnia, medication is prescribed when it's not even the first line of treatment. The American Academy of Physicians in 2017, that's made up of all the primary care doctors, said that cognitive behavior therapy was the first line of treatment for insomnia. And yet there are so many pills being prescribed for insomnia. Let's take, for example, to deal with what goes on. A man was once referred to me who was terrified of dogs. And it was very interesting because his whole life was stressed out because if he saw a dog on the street, he'd have to cross the street. His heart would beat, he'd sweat a little bit. And he was just really, really fearful. Well, he wanted a pill from his primary care doctor, and the primary care doctor made it very clear he had no pill to give him every time he saw a dog. There was no prescription for that. So the referral comes, and I find out that this man grew up with his mother and his grandmother, both of whom disliked dogs. And that's okay to dislike dogs. There's really no problem with that. But how it translated to him was that he became phobic and anxiety-ridden around dogs. And he was coping. He went to work. He did what he had to do. But then something occurred in his life where a friend of his he hadn't seen for years in college, who he was relatively close with, invited him to visit and have a weekend together. And the friend was about 1,000 miles away. And he was pretty happy about this until he found out the friend had a dog. And then everything just collapsed on him. And this became a very difficult situation that he had to resolve because he was committed to visit the friend. Well, the first thing we did was he went and bought himself a very nice dog book with color photos and all that nice stuff and explanations of what characteristics the dog had. And we went over it together. Actually, he was quite anxious looking at these dogs. But after about 2 weeks, he was quite comfortable, and he was able to turn the pages and actually enjoy reading about seeing the pictures of the dogs. The second phase of this treatment was if he could locate a trusted friend who had a dog. And he had a few people he knew who had dogs. He didn't visit them, but he knew that. And he picked one trusted friend. And the idea of trust is very important here because the way we set up a behavior modification strategy for a short-term, hopefully successful approach was that the friend would have the dog out on a leash. And one, two, three, four times a week, four times if possible, he would approach that dog. And the trusted friend would never let the dog approach him. And over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, he was able to get closer and closer to that dog with less and less anxiety. He desensitized himself to the point of being able to actually pat the dog. Of course, like most dogs, this is a happy, jolly animal. And he successfully visited his friend. Whether he ever purchased a dog or got a dog, I don't really know. But the whole point here, this was short term. He could have been in a therapeutic situation where when he started discussing why his mother and grandmother did not like dogs, they could have spent 5 months discussing his feelings towards his mother and his grandmother, both of whom he loved dearly. So there is no reason for any kind of negativity on what the grandma and mama may have taught him, because that was their choice not to feel comfortable around dogs. But instead, we circumscribed his problem, focused on resolution, and moved forward. And in this case, it was quite successful.
Now, Dr. London, taking that even further, how long is short-term therapy supposed to last, and what makes short-term therapy different from other therapies?
Well, it just basically focuses on the problem. Let me go back to the first point you made. How long is an open question? it's short compared to long-term open-ended therapy that can go on for years. It can be one or two or three visits. It can be 1 or 2 or 3 weeks. It can be 1 or 2 or 3 months. But you're offering someone a roadmap in order to solve a specific or two specific problems rather than understand the essence of us humans on the planet. And the rage you may have felt to someone 20 years ago or so often when someone comes into a therapeutic office and they have a problem and they're going on ongoing visits and it may be a rainy day and they show up and part of their clothes are wet and they're annoyed because they've got to sit there for 40, 50 or 60 minutes in wet clothes. And the therapist hears the annoyance that the person has of their wet clothes and starts talking about what the wet clothes mean to you. Well, that could go on for weeks. That's not what I'm talking about. In other words, that's not the problem the person has. Yes, we all get wet in the rain, but whatever the problem has, whatever the problem is, we want to focus on that. And this is how the short-term thoughtful, cognitive, and my learning, philosophizing, and action therapy, LPA, differs. It's short-term. It circumscribes the problem. Not everyone is going to get better. But I believe far more people could benefit, especially people who are motivated to solve a problem, by getting into a shorter-term model. It also helps destigmatize therapy. The stigma still exists for, oh, I'm seeing a shrink or this or that. And I believe if you know that you can go for a few weeks or a few months and get yourself better, and then if it reoccurs, you can go back 2 years later and get yourself better again. Just like people do in general medicine. You know, two different people pick up a heavy box. One person is fine. Another person has a back problem after picking up the heavy box. Well, they may have a vulnerability to back problems. There are some people who may have a vulnerability to anxiety or phobias. So it not only can help resolve the problem quicker in a shorter window of time, it can open the door for recurrent visits like people do with high blood pressure or heart problems or any of the medical problems that are commonly addressed.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Robert T. London, a well-known psychiatrist, educator, and author of the new book called Find Freedom Fast, Short-Term Therapy That Works, here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Mental Health Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, you talk about CBT or cognitive behavior therapy. What is that? Get into some of those details.
Well, cognitive behavior therapy was thought about by a Dr. Aaron Beck many, many years ago in the 60s. And it's basically thinking your way through a problem, CBT, cognitive behavior therapy. Instead of all the emotional flooding and how did you feel about this, it's trying to develop thought patterns. I never have any friends. This getting away from all or nothing. Oh, I have too many friends. Yes, when someone says I never have any friends, you talk a little bit and you find out they have two friends, maybe three friends, maybe one friend. And it uses these different principles to move away from negative thoughts and try and develop positive thoughts. It's a thinking person's philosophy. And my learning, philosophizing, and action therapy is simply my spin on cognitive behavior therapy, because I felt you can teach someone a lot easier to understand what it was they learned that developed into certain thoughts and behaviors, and that you can see how it's affected their life. And then you can develop methods of action, getting a new perspective on this problem to move forward. So cognitive therapy, in the main, is thinking through the issues instead of the emotional flooding about, you know, why you're upset by your uncle who didn't pick you up on time from school when you were 9 years old, and going on about that in terms of what it reminds you of and how disappointed you may be in this or that in your life. It's focused on thinking through the problem, using the brain that we all have, this wonderful organ in our body called the brain, and using it to reprocess information and move forward, enjoying a better, more fulfilling life.
Thanks for sharing some of the details there. Lastly, before you take off, one last question for you. How can a person be a good consumer of mental health care?
Well, that is a great question, and that is addressed in the book as well. You have to ask if you're going to go into some therapeutic approach and talk to a therapist. I think it's very, very important to say what kind of therapy to use. I'd like to be out of here as quick as possible. This is the problem. These are the two problems. These are the three problems. I'd like to solve them. And if the therapist is going to relate to you in terms of you're resisting care, you're this, then this may not be the therapist for you. You want the person to explain. You're asking a question about how I can get this done faster. Of course, the person needs to be motivated. And many times a person is unable or insecure about asking a therapist that problem. It shouldn't be a difficult problem. If you go into a store to buy some half a pound or a pound of pre-made tuna fish, you may ask the person, how long has this tuna fish been sitting here? And we do that with ease. So I think we can take that same model using our brain and ask a therapist, just like you ask anyone else around, you know, the dry cleaner, when will I get these shirts back? And that's the way to determine it, what kind of therapy you're going to have. And to be a good consumer and not to feel you're resisting or you're being a difficult person by just asking these questions.
Well, Dr. London, we certainly appreciate your time and joining us here today on eHealth Radio. If listeners wanted to pick up your book, Find Freedom Fast, or to be in touch with you or get more information on yourself, where's the best place online to get these details?
Well, but basically it's findfreedomfast.com. Gives you a lot of information. The book is also for sale on Amazon. And basically, I have a website called drrobertlondon.com, which gives you more information about me. And a lot of it is talked about in the book and why I chose psychiatry and why I chose to work with short-term techniques.
Again, folks, it is findfreedomfast.com. Dr. London, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly wish you all the best.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
We've been speaking with Dr. Robert T. London, a well-known psychiatrist, educator, and author of the new book called Find Freedom Fast, Short-Term Therapy That Works. And for further details, simply visit findfreedomfast.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.